And welcome to another edition of It's All About the Youth Sports Talk Show. I'm your host, Aaron Sutton. And as you know, we've covered a lot of great topics on this show. Last week, we had an interesting topic that we covered, and it dealt with a lot of very, very, very interesting conversation about the legislation that should be passed, that they're trying to pass, about harassment of coaches, referees, and whether parents should be allowed to make, I guess, outlandish gestures. So when you look at this, it's gonna be pretty interesting. We wanna recap it and cover it. I want you to give me your honest opinion. Do you think they should pass legislation? Or do you think they should, hey, it is what it is, it's a part of the sport. So you ask me, I say you should have somebody governing it, but your parents should be able to govern themselves instead of punching each other in the mouth. Just because you're there, don't mean you own it. Just because your kid is playing, don't mean you should be the one making the most noise. But today's show, man, this is gonna be really, really good. Daddy daycare, is it really a daycare center for dads? Is your dad really out there because he wants to see you excel? Or are you really out there to please your daddy? Are you out there to please him? You know, because we have so many kids that are in our league, man, and so many kids that play in these leagues that say a lot of great things and do a lot of good things. But they're out there because daddy might have his foot up his behind at all times. Is it one of those things where your dad is trying to make you become something that he wasn't? Hey, we're gonna ask some questions today. We got some phenomenal guests. They're gonna be sharing it with us. Hey, tell me about your experience from a coaching standpoint. Tell me about your experience as a parent. Tell me about your experience as just a fan, watching them, how they treat their kids. All of that is gonna be a gumbo pot of conversation today on our show. Once again, we have a lot of great things coming, man. A lot of great things on this show. I love to get your opinion. If you're tuned in to us, always give me your conversation. You can type at lysntv.com and check us out. Or you better yet, you can just hit me at All of a Sudden on Twitter and Instagram and ask me, hey, man, won't you cover this? Say something about that. I thought this. Give me your opinion. If you don't like what I'm saying, tell me about it. Not like I care, but anyway, it's my opinion, it's my show. Nah, it's your show, because we're here for you to be a voice for you. We're talking for the community. I wanna hear your opinion. I wanna know how you feel about it. But we got some parents and coaches today that's gonna tell us what they think about the daddy daycare opportunities that are out here in sports, whether it's AAU, whether it's football, baseball, whatever daddy coaches are skipping age groups to be with their sons. It's a lot going on. Stay tuned, because it's all about the youth.
I'm gonna get you tonight, because you let me down, brother.
No, I'm not.
You did. I don't give what you do. You let me down. I don't care if you're gonna play 100%. I'll get you, buddy. Cry about that.
Hey, what is that? Come on, guys! You're killing me! Ray Charles can see this crap!
What'd she do? She did her job! Go
home! We're back, man. What an interesting graphic. So, the dad is in the ear of the kid, right? The dad is in the ear of this kid, and he's telling the kid, he says, hey, look, you know what? I don't care how you perform today. When I get you home, I got something for you. And not in a good way, man. It was not, son, I'm proud of you. You had a bad day yesterday. You made up for it today. You know, I love you. No, he didn't give him that. He gave him that, you know, that you got all F report card. He gave him one. When as soon as I get home, I don't care how good you did today. And then you had a mom in the stands. She's screaming and yelling. She's like, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. How do we deal with that? We're back live on It's All About the Youth Sports Talk Show. Once again, I'm your host, Aaron Sutton, and I have some phenomenal guests with me here, man. And I'm gonna give them an opportunity to introduce themselves. I'm gonna start to my left. Who do I have here, man?
Coach Charles Skylinville Seahawks.
And he's repping the what? Louisiana Youth Football versus everybody. And we mean it, just like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that, Coach.
Okay.
Coach Derrick with the Louisiana Rattlers.
The who?
Louisiana.
I thought you said Bears. He's quiet. You said Rattlers, Coach. I heard you.
There we go.
I just remember you for years being, you know. Yeah. Anyway, how you doing, Coach? You good?
I'm good.
And here you have Coach Joe with the Scotlandville Hornets.
Scotlandville Hornets? Yeah. That's good, Coach. Your son, phenomenal athlete. I see him running track with the Jaguars. Great kid. Awesome guy. Good guy, man. It's a great, phenomenal show. Back to what we were talking about, daddy daycare. So what does daddy daycare mean? Somebody tell me, what do you think it mean? Daddy daycare is dad showing up. He got your kid, you went and bought the cleats for your son.
Yeah.
You got the tennis shoes on, the matches cleats. You got a bag, he got a bag. Y'all seen that? Any of y'all seen that before?
Oh, I've seen it many a time.
Elaborate. Tell me about some of your experiences being a coach and dealing with a daddy coach.
With a daddy coach, a lot of times, you'll see, like, when you say about the uniform, you know, we'll have a specific uniform. Everybody come, you know, we have a dress code for, you know, certain socks, certain,
right,
you know, this, that, and the other. And then, you know, one of the daddy coaches, he'll show up and the kid'll have two or three towels. You know, his socks different.
Right.
You know, he's, you know, everything, you know, he comes with the stuff that is kind of prohibited in the league almost. So we
got
to take.
So he got a reflective shield on.
Yeah,
pretty much. I can help you with that. He got a reflective shield on. Your team might have bought team cleats and y'all might have on Nikes. His dad might have saw the new Adidas and put Adidas on his son because they were the loud orange ones or the blue ones or the green ones that look sweet with the accent in the jersey.
Yeah.
That's possible, right?
Oh, I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, just one of those situations may come up. Something like that, I've seen it happen. You're right, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, anybody else care to elaborate on that? Have you ever dealt with that in basketball?
Yes, I have.
You have? Tell me about it.
Well, being a coach with basketball, it was challenging. I mean, you know, because not only did I want to coach a group, but I wanted to coach.
My son is good.
Right.
Get him the ball. Run a play for him. You see how I'm cutting you off in the middle. I could be one of those daddy coaches doing that to you, right?
Right.
You can experience that. You've experienced that in your.
Yes.
Man, I tell you, I can only imagine from your standpoint. In basketball, it's a little different. Football, you got a little distance between you. Basketball, they kind of sitting like right behind you. So they giving it to you like, a little bit. They've been pouring it on. Or better yet, if he's on the sideline. Coach Charles, tell me about an experience where you've had a daddy on the sideline with you and you probably like, never again.
I don't have too many because a daddy coach on my staff gonna know what time it is when I get to talking. See what I'm saying? So if he hear my ear, if y'all pay attention to me, most time I don't have this problem, but if you do see me, if I ain't trying to really hear something, you'll see me pace the sideline. I keep walking further and further down, so I basically don't even deal with that.
Right.
So I ain't have no major problems with the daddy coach.
So Joe, back to you, man. I can only imagine. So you coach yourself.
Yeah.
How challenging is that? Are you coach on the court and daddy at home, or are you coach?
Well, you know, since my son plays football and basketball, I'm talk about football. Being a daddy coach is challenging, but I've learned to just look at it from the perspective of really just being fair. You know,
okay.
Because if you're being fair, that means that you gain the trust of your team, and also you you have to really be able to put a kid in the right position based on skill set versus looking at it like,
right,
you know,
coach. One more, just out of curiosity. Honestly, I gotta know this. So at home, what does your son call you?
Dad.
At practice, what does your dad? What does your son call you?
Coach.
So he it's a distinctive difference,
right,
of how you guys communicate.
Right.
Regardless of the fairness, you guys have a separation of dad and coach relationship. Do you ever carry it over to home? Like, y'all said your game is over. He might have had a good game, but it wasn't the best game. Y'all sitting there, you got a pizza, y'all sitting at the table, are you watching something on TV? Do y'all kind of get back into it? Hey man, you could have did this better, you could have did this, or is it more like just complete silence in the room other than talking about sports?
No, see, once we leave the practice field, I leave my coach's hat there. When we're at home, I want to talk about how was his day at school? You know, did he have any problems? You know, dealing with any students or anything like that, because I don't want to overwhelm him.
Right.
So I want to give him like that balance, you know, like that balance, being able to you know, to really take care of schoolwork when he's at school and when he's on the football field or basketball court.
One thing I always look at, Coach, and I share this with you, 10 seconds left on the clock. You're in a heated game, man. You got to make a pressure decision of who to draw the play up for. Your son is what you trained your son. Do you draw it up for your son or do you give it to another kid?
I asked the team for their input. And that way, I'm gaining their trust. So if they say, look, give it to
the team Jordan. They might be like, man, I ain't trying to get on Coach Bass side, so I'm gonna say, you know.
No. See, that's when you build that trust.
Okay.
So if they say, man, look, Coach, I want to take the last shot. Or get a last shot to Jordan.
So, Coach, you mean to tell me every time you've done this, every time, because I'm sure you've been in that situation a lot, Coach.
Right.
If you coach enough, you've been in that situation a good bit. And by you coaching your son, is it tough? Say, for instance, they're like, hey, let him shoot it. And he don't make it. What happens? How does that go?
Same way.
How do you handle it when a parent in the stands may say, he always picking his, because they feel like you show favoritism, I'm sure, at some point. How do you deal with that?
See, but that's when you make fair decisions. You're able to reduce favoritism. And you also improve positive communication with you and Anna, a parent, mm-hmm. once they see that you had a kid's best interest. Because, I mean, if you look at it, LeBron, Kobe, all of them miss shots too.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, so your son's not going
to
make
it. But Jordan might be sitting there like, Dad, I can do it. Give it to me. And the team may be saying, no, we're going to go with John.
No, because it's all about the youth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not about my son. It's about, you know what I'm saying, like the whole team. So everybody needs to have.
That's a good outlook on it, man. But once again, I can only imagine. So Jordan get back in the truck with you, man. Y'all going home. Little John missed the shot. He looking at you like, I can't believe you ain't called my number, man. You tripping.
But it's Louisiana youth. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not in the NBA. So take it with a grain of salt, son. I mean, you live to shoot another day, or you live to carry the ball, you know what I'm saying, like another day.
So we've covered a lot because you're one of the only coaches up here with a son that actually plays. Coach, it's a unique situation for you guys, man. How many daughters you have, Coach?
I got three.
Three girls.
Yeah.
How about you, Coach?
Three girls.
So y'all sitting there with a three-piece wife apiece, man. Whew. Good guy.
Tell me.
God bless you, man. It's interesting. So tell me about it. How do you balance time with your daughters, time as a coach? Because you guys have been coaching for a long time now. How long have you been coaching youth football, Coach?
Right at almost 13 years.
How about you, Coach?
I'm right at 12.
12 or 13 years. So your kids are growing up. They see you guys spend a lot of time with other young men, mm-hmm. most of the time, right?
Right.
Because football is one of the most jealous sports, period. Or they're very jealous.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that with your daughters and with spending time with these other young men?
Well, I knew what I had to do. I added cheerleaders. So when I'm at practice, y'all at practice.
So everybody does.
Everybody does.
That's how you do it.
Every whole house.
It was kind of like that with me in the beginning. We had cheerleaders. My daughters were cheerleaders. And then after a period of time, we didn't have cheerleaders. So they get a kick out of me. They like to see me get on the kids. So they always around. I mean, I hear it all the time. Daddy, you be rough on them kids, you know, stuff like that.
So are you rough on your kids?
On my daughters? Yeah.
Okay. So it's just a rough situation all over.
Well, I mean, I believe.
Define rough, Coach.
Well,
I mean, we just saw some examples of some rough situation. That coach told that daddy coach told his boy. He said, "Look, I'm gonna tell you something. I don't care how good you do today, son. When I get you home, you're gonna deal with me." Talk about rough, Coach. I'm gonna tell you. Last episode, we talked about coaches using profanity,
mm-hmm.
right? And some coaches were. They justified it by saying it's a part of the culture. You know, the parent curse, the kid curse, we curse. The referee has to understand that because it's a part of the culture. I didn't personally agree with that, but at the end of the day, how do you feel about that? As a daddy coach, that's your child.
Mm-hmm.
That may be your child, Coach. How do you feel about that? Profanity being used, or you cursing, and you telling your son something?
Well, I look at it from the standpoint of, I don't know what that kid is dealing with at home,
mm-hmm.
so I play it on the safe side. Okay. I don't curse at all.
So what about your own?
I have.
You have?
Yeah, but I tend not to, you know.
So do you have a different set of discipline rules for your son when he's playing sports than other kids?
Not Not necessarily.
I mean, you kind of hit it at this
day. Right, but you know what I'm saying? But it's like when you're going through the heat of the moment or when you're in a
battle,
sometimes you tend to say things that you really don't mean.
Okay.
So I try to practice, you know, like a safe way of getting that kid's attention, not only my son, but everybody, without using curse words.
Well, I mean, just looking at the big picture, I always say this, you know, when kids are in an environment where they're loved, it may be some challenges that are presented, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about how you handle it as an adult. So you may have coming from that dad mm-hmm. that's in the stand, that irate father, or that irate coach, daddy coach that's on your sideline. Or he may just be holding the markers. You know, in Louisiana youth, he may be a volunteer holding the markers. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with that? Well, little Johnny may be disgruntled, his dad is disgruntled, and you trying to coach a game.
Well, for me, I try to get it clear before the game even start. You know,
I mean, heat of the moment, Coach Derrick. Heat of the moment. We had a bad play. You made a bad call. That's possible.
Well, over the that years, I've learned. In heat of the battle, over the years, I've learned to ignore it.
Okay.
So you tune it out. Yeah, I try to tune it out.
So you still discipline little Johnny. You put him back in the game. Now he's lethargic. He's running around. He's moving like, man, I don't even.
Oh no! It. Now that's something different. I might wait. It depends on when he's doing it. If he's doing it, you know, before halftime, I'll deal with him at halftime. Now okay. I pull him to the side. I'm not gonna, you know, degrade him in front of all the rest of the kids.
But his dad is standing over your shoulder, looking at you like, "Hey, my son."
Well, I mean, again, I get that clear before we even start, because I believe, for me, if I can't treat your kid the way I treat my kid, I don't want to coach your kid.
Okay.
I mean, that's
it's an establishment. It's understood.
It's understood in the beginning. To.
Coach, how about you, Coach?
Basically, see, all my parents, we have to understand, you know, one thing. I ain't gonna get out of the pocket with the kids. We pretty much got to understand where they listen. So, one thing I had to say. And now, hold on, let me tell you about this situation. I did have a situation where, like you say, the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we was playing y'all. And one of the parents holding the down markers, mm-hmm. it ain't go our way. And they got, you know, the word or whatever, and I had to go run, hey, man, shut up, man, don't give me no penalty, man. By halftime, we had to swap them out, though. We had to go and swap them out, we couldn't get them penalties, man. Heard us at the game like
and,
that.
You're in the middle of battle. Once again, a lot of parents, a lot of those daddy coaches, and a lot, they don't realize sometimes, too, that you can hurt the team more than you can help the team in that way. But then on the flip side, I know we're talking about the disgruntled side of the daddy daycare, but we also have another side of that, man. You have some daddies, how many of you guys have daddies that fix the helmets, fix the water, pick up kids, you know, transportation service, a lot of that happens. Mm-hmm. Tell me about some situations where you had it where daddy's just above and beyond. He that dude, man. You miss him to this day.
Well, I have two coaches that, a daddy coach that are still with me though.
Okay.
And man, they be beyond like what you say. Man, they over the top, bro. Whatever we need, whatever we ask them dudes to do, they do. Coach, matter of fact, I'm gonna let them know. Coach B, mm-hmm. Coach Shed, these are two coaches I have that actually have kids, but these two coaches are not selfish. What I mean by that, these two coaches actually had sons on other team age groups I have, mm-hmm. but I actually missed their sons playing to be at games with my other teams to be able to coach them. So, you know what I'm saying?
That's big.
I really want to take my hats off to them two dudes, but that's love what they do.
That's
for
big,
me.
Man. That's big.
Yeah.
For to sacrifice seeing your kid play to go help some other kids.
Yeah.
What kind of effect do you think they have on his son?
Be honest with you, you can tell the way they boys raised. It don't have no effect on them because they never been selfish where they complain about their dads not being able to see them play because they coach another way else.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Interesting. I always look at this too, guys. Funny you said you made a key point. Going back and you coaching with a daddy coach, what about the know-it-all daddy coach who was I was a stud through my years. Now I'm raising my boy and he's getting all his notoriety and he's coming up through the ranks. He just so happened he's on your team. And now I don't feel like you know enough, so I need to interject my opinion at all times. How do you handle that, coach?
Oof, man, I've had that one a lot. Man.
You gave me a facial expression, Coach, like you just ate a hot tamale or something.
Yeah,
a hot pepper. You like,
Yeah, because I mean, I've dealt with a few who played high school football and, you know, they think they just, you know, they had the bobble for football. You know,
right.
That type of thing, you know, and you
coaching
touchdown
one way.
Jesus, like
yeah,
you
coach him one way, and he figured his way is, you know, the right way, and you know you get into this battle with them, you know, and it's kind of I don't even really how you handle that. It's kind of, you know.
Hey. I done dealt with that before. I done had people, you know, daddy coaches in the stands. You know, I call a few plays. Players might not run the right, but guess what? Man, what y'all doing? He tripping. Ooh, ooh. He don't know what he doing. But I come back the following weekend, run the same plays and win. Now I'm the greatest coach in Louisiana U.
Right. So you getting all the praise.
Yeah.
Then. So you go from being criticized to praise.
Right. From the stand coaches.
Yeah.
Only from the stand coaches.
Back from the sideline. Coach.
Right. But that's why okay. if you I don't care, daddy coach or whatever coaches, anybody my program will tell you. Everybody that think they know football, actually begin. Louisiana U got certain steps what you have to do to become a coach, right?
Yeah.
I tell them, hey, take them steps. You can be on my staff.
You got to come see me first.
And I don't see them no more till after the game when we been in. Something ain't go their way, what I should have done.
Right.
Right.
So a lot of interesting dialogue going right now, man. And I'm enjoying us talking about daddy daycare, daddy coaches. We got some good insight from you guys. And I tell you what, man. As we continue this conversation, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into it because I want to know a few things, man. You know, those daddy coaches that, you know, they come along and they build an organization up, man. They make it super organization. You got every bell and whistle out there, right? Mm-hmm. So you like super organization. Then all of a sudden, little Johnny Bubba is too old to play. Little Bubba too old to play. Bye-bye, daddy. Organization goes boo, 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 boo,
Lord have mercy.
Bye-bye support, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So when we come back, man, I want to cover what do we do about it? How do we prevent that when we can forecast it and see it coming? You know, so stay tuned right here on It's All About the Youth Sports Talk Show. I am your host once again, Aaron Sutton, and we're talking about the daddy daycare. We got some great guests up here, man, and we're going to keep it locked, man. You don't want to miss the next part of this show.
Here comes Dad for a conference.
Hey, I just came out to tell you how much I love you. As a dad and a player, okay? You're doing awesome out here. One more hitter and then I'm going to Juge. This is your last hitter, okay? Understand? Come right after. Hey, cheer up. Have some fun. Come right after. Okay, let's go.
How good is that, Tim?
As good as it gets.
Goosebumps.
And welcome back to It's All About the Youth Sports Talk Show. I'm your host, Aaron Sutton, and we have some phenomenal guests here with us once again. And I'd just like to say, man, this has been a phenomenal show, man. I'm enjoying what we're talking about. The subject is daddy daycare. You know, daddy coaches. Are they good for the organization? Are they bad for the organization? We've talked about a lot of the things that can make it tough on the organization for a daddy to be a part of it. As you saw the clip we just showed about the baseball coach who was a daddy coach. And his son had pitched his final pitch he was on his last batter. He came out and told his son he was proud of him, man. A little tearjerker to me, man. It's kind of tough. Then he let him know, hey man, did good today, man. I love you, bro. You know, this is the last one. As soon as you pitched this last pitch, come on down. Come on sit next to me. You know, one of those things that we were talking about those daddies that come in the organization, man, and they take it to cloud nine and everybody's excited, you know, and you see that energy in the air because this dad is pouring his heart into it so his kid can have a great experience, which in turn allows other kids to have a phenomenal experience, right? Mm-hmm. But when that daddy leaves, it's like a divorce happening in a household, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough when daddy take the check and leave mama with them bills and she got to get two jobs or something, you know? So just a comparison to look at. Mm-hmm. So how do you handle that with the organization?
A lot of time when you get in an organization, you know, if you started one with a dad, like I started with a bunch of dads.
Okay.
I probably was the only coach that didn't have a kid, you know? So, and as the thing where the problem I saw with the organization was when the kid moved up, the coach, the dad.
So the whole coaching staff had to change
The whole coaching staff was moving with him, and they leave you behind with nothing. You know, you got to find new coaches. You got to start from scratch instead of just, you know, when you got coaches already in place that's coaching certain age groups.
Mm-hmm.
When they move like that, now that leaves you behind with nothing to build. So as they move on with their with their kid, you know, when their kid becomes and he ages out, a lot of them, you know, they pretty much just leave the organization and just leave it high and dry, mm-hmm. even if they started the organization.
Right.
And I've seen that.
They just walk away from it.
I've seen a few. I mean, they'll come back and say, well, you know, we're going to help or do something like that. And he may come to five practices. And okay. I'll never see him again, you know.
Right.
And I've been seeing it over the years. I mean, I can name you maybe six or seven organizations in Louisiana youth football that I've seen crumble from daddy coaches.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been a part of one. And the second one, I don't know.
I mean, just I mean,
it's
just all of it plays a part in the structure and the upkeep of what you try to prevent from having, you know, kids be disappointed. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody loses but the child, the children mm-hmm. in your organization.
Right.
Because, you know, those kids that may be a freshman in your organization are looking forward to the sophomore experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get there and it's not as elaborate as the freshman experience, that's kind of tough because coaches have moved on. You got one coach that got to coach offense and defense, or you got one basketball coach that got to pick up 10 kids, or you got one baseball coach trying to coach every position. All of that can be a challenge,
mm-hmm.
you know? So when you look at the big picture of it, what do you think that you could do to help an organization continue to survive that may be dealing with situations like this?
Best thing I can tell them, you know, watch who you bring into the family, like for us coaching wise. If you can, try to find you some long distance guys that's serious about the program that you know not gonna leave after their child left. You see what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. for instance, we got 7 years under our belt for Scottsdale Seahawks, right? Mm-hmm. I done had a lot of daddy coaches, don't get me wrong. They were good daddy coaches, but as of today, I only have three of those daddy coaches that are still with us who kids don't play no more.
How does that make you feel, Coach?
Well, I ain't gonna say it made me feel.
Is it an air of disappointment? Yeah. Or do you think that it was just, hey man, I'm just here. Were they honest with you and told you, look, I'm only here while my child is here?
Well, to be honest with you, everybody that left like that, I never saw it coming. I'm gonna be honest with you. I never known they was gonna leave once their child got older because everything seemed like this perfect.
It was organic and they were a part of it.
Yeah, we had everything going out. You know, it felt like a family. This is my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, you know, probably
do they come back and support what you're doing now? Do you ever see them ever?
When I see them, I might see them at a high school game or at another event.
Following their son.
Right, but not really too much, you know, back over with us or whatnot.
I mean, I'll see them come. They might come to a game. You know, I've seen a few come back to the game. They're just pretty much trying to see what's going on.
Right.
But as far as getting back involved like they used to be, don't too many of them do that.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, how about you, Coach?
I just look at it as a daddy coach, that is bigger than me.
So do you think after Jordan, he's aged out of playing youth ball in Louisiana, whether it's basketball, football, or baseball, or running track, after he's aged out, do you see yourself continuing to do it?
Oh, I really want to. I mean, because I look at it as a way to give back to the community.
Right.
Because we have a lot of kids that really need a positive role model.
Right.
And for me, being able to give that to them, it brings me a whole lot of blessings. So I want to continue to do it after he's.
So, Coach, I heard you say it, Coach. We all heard you, Coach Derek.
Right.
Coach, everybody's heard you say it, right?
Right.
So that you're gonna be here.
Right.
He told us that. Y'all heard it. He's going. I'm just joking, man. But seriously, though, I would love to see you stick around, man, and be a part of the organization because now you've gained so much, you know, knowledge from being around other people's kids, like Coach Charles was just elaborating on. Man, it's tough. Cause you never see that coming. That blow comes in the summertime when kids are coming back mm-hmm. out there. You got training going on. You used to coach picking up kids from that area, or you used to coach. You know, he might be the water coach. You know, or whatever. Now you have nothing. Your organization is depleted, which leads to kids starting to migrate to other programs, spinoff programs. Daddy's getting mad with you as a coach and leave.
Yes.
And start a new program. Talk to me about
Louisiana
that.
Louisiana youth is full of those.
Talk to me about
I'll be honest with you, because I've coached on a level where I had a couple of daddies who were coaching with me on the staff and didn't like how a certain thing went.
Right.
And the next year he either started his team or he went with another guy. I've seen them to the point to where it'd be a daddy from another team and a daddy from my team, and they'll go start
two mad daddies
and they'll
together.
Start a whole other team.
So which brings me back. You know, we got a lot of things that we cover, man. It's unreal. Daddy's moving up. Mm-hmm. If they, what if, so coach, have you ever moved up with your son?
Yes.
Every time?
No.
Okay. So what if you couldn't move up? Would you leave the organization? If they was like, look, coach, we need you to stay right here, you can't move up with your son.
I don't want to move up with him because okay. I want him to have the opportunity to really be coached by other coaches.
Yeah, we have a clip that we keep putting, we always publish and say, allow your son to be coached hard by other coaches. Mm-hmm. If you don't allow your son to be coached hard by other men, it's going to be tough on your son to survive as an employee in real life or mm-hmm. an employer.
I'll give you a prime example. Like this summer, I had an opportunity to run track with the South Bend River Jaguars. Uh-huh. So having my son being coached by Coach Terry, mm-hmm. it was different, but it was good for him because mm-hmm. he got to see aside from Coach Terry, and he got to see aside from me, which mm-hmm. to me would, you know, only enable him to be a better player and also to be coachable.
Right. So all of that's important. Like you made a good point. I mean, he's coaching a different sound, a different voice, a different method. Mm-hmm. Sometimes opens up different things for the talent that your kid may possess. And you may not, you know, I've seen certain things. And you're like, man, I didn't know he could do that. You know, I didn't know he had that in him. You know, also looking back, you guys don't even have daughters. I mean, you don't have sons, you have daughters. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're hard and tough on a daddy coach's son, and the daddy coach decides to take his kid to another team, do you actually stop talking to the kid or dealing with that kid?
No.
Huh?
I never stopped talking to the kid, but the way I was, I'm gonna be honest, the way I was raised, I kind of lose a little respect for the daddy, mm-hmm. you know, for me as a man, right. because like he just said, you know, what you do with your kid, you know, I try to tell a lot of the ones who are daddy coaches, you know, we gonna get together and we gonna come with a game plan of how we gonna coach these kids. Mm-hmm. Now, what you do with him outside of what we do at practice, that's different. But if you don't like what I'm doing.
So have you ever, we showed a clip of a mm-hmm. daddy telling his son, yeah, coach might have thought, you know, you did good. You might have did good today, but when I get you home, I'ma do. Will you ever step in those situations?
No.
Everybody shook their head like, no.
No, because I mean,
so if it's traumatizing to the child, you're out there for the child's welfare, right? The best betterment of the kid.
Yeah.
So if he's going to an environment where his father, he was just he did a great job. After practice, post practice, extra suicides, running. You know, running additional suicides, and he's actually been ran hard. You know, y'all had a hard practice. Will you ever say something to the dad, like, "Hey, man,
I have
that might be enough."
I have a few times. I've actually had a dad that I actually, to be honest with you, I had a dad that I actually almost had an altercation with behind that because I believe in even though if you giving him extra stuff to do. You're going to make, you know, his mind, he's not going to be in a good state of mind when he comes to practice.
It's my son. Don't tell me nothing about my son.
And I've had that to happen. Yeah. You know, this is my boy, and I'll pull him, and, you know, all this kind of crazy stuff.
See that notorious word? That's funny to me. That I pull. I'll pull my boy. I don't have time for this. I'll pull him. How do you handle that?
Like, I actually got a parent out there right now. I'm actually cool with him, but I always hear him say, Coach. Get him, coach, get him. Look at him, coach. I'm like, dude, what is he doing? It's like, no. If I can tell, I tell that kid, man, good job. Oh, he ain't doing right, coach. I'm like, dude, you ruined him. He don't know what's right, what's wrong.
So you got some old daddy pop, yeah. coaches mm-hmm. that treat their kids like they're training pit bulls.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yes. So if you're training a pit bull and you always harping on, you want to be so super aggressive at all times. Do they know how to turn up? Is there an on and off switch? I asked you that earlier, coach. Do you have a coach and a daddy relationship, or do you have a coach and coach relationship? How would your son say, you know, what would he have to say about that? We're going to tune in. We're going to see what some kids have to say about experiencing their parents always coaching them, even at home, and actually coaching them on the field. Let's see what our kids have to say about it.
I prefer that my parents, if I play bad, don't say anything. And if I play well, it doesn't really matter if they compliment me on how I play. I just I don't know. I prefer my parents to, not talk as much.
My mom used to say, use the backboard. You should use the backboard.
I get angry because it annoys me. I'm kind of embarrassed.
She tells me to get in the position that my coach told me not to get in. I'm like, well, no. And then she's like, get in your position. I'm like, no.
I get a little tense when I have a certain score to get. And she's like, you gotta get that whatever score. And I'm like,
I don't like it when they try to push me even more, even though I'm trying really, really hard.
The other people were like, wow, that mom is like really wanting her kid to win.
In my inside, you can't see it, but I'm inside saying, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet.
Sometimes I just look into space.
I try to listen to them and then do what they say to like, so they don't start yelling again.
Sometimes I get nervous.
When they yell and nobody else is yelling.
Sometimes it can embarrass me. Like, a lot.
Wait. What's going on? We're just trying to do this, but you want us to try harder?
Well, I am.
I'm not going into a game not trying my hardest. That'd be, like, messed up.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
They don't need to, like, always be, like, telling me what to do, like, every minute of the game. They kind of just gotta let me play.
I love when you say, like, really nice. I got it, Mom.
I'd like to look back and I'd like to see you, like, smile or, like, give me a thumbs up.
Mom, I wish you would be a little bit quieter. Say, like, you play good and, like, you can get them next time.
When they smile and say, like, good job.
Well, and Dad,
thank you for loving me.
I love
being my supporter.
And welcome back to It's All About the Youth Sports Talk Show. I'm your host, Aaron Sutton. And once again, you know it's the two guys at the end of the show, man. Leroy Hollins is here with us, man. My main man here.
You see, I'm sitting here quiet, man, because
you were a daddy coach. This is what I've been waiting till you got on here anyway. Let's go back to when you were a daddy coach.
Dude, I tell anybody, 22 years ago, I started doing this because I wanted to be the best dad in the world.
Yeah.
I didn't think about nobody else in the world. I just wanted
to
be the best.
So you weren't thinking about other people's children?
No, indeed, no.
I wanted to be the best.
I was a daddy coach.
You just didn't leave. That's the only part.
Exactly. Well, what I realized once I got in it, because I was to almost extreme. My son caught me, as a matter of fact, he was 5 years old. We coming from practice. We was riding. He said, Daddy, let's not go home. Mm-hmm. I said, well, okay. I said, what you want? We rode on campus. He said, Daddy, I want you to be daddy at home, and I want you to be coach
at practice. Right.
He said, when we get in the car, I don't want you to critique what I did and tell me what I did.
So how did you
balance it? The thing about it is, I wasn't coaching my son. Right. I wasn't coaching him as a
You
as
was
a
just
player.
Critiquing him when
I was coaching him as my son,
okay.
as being that daddy coach.
Right.
But when he told me that, it made me realize a bigger picture of what it was that what he needed from me. It wasn't just me being there with him or me being at the practice with him.
Were you in a position to give him wisdom that the coaches that he was dealing with didn't have, or were you in a position to help enhance?
Well, that's what it was. I mean, we did work on drills.
Okay.
We was like one of the girls said that they mentioned in the video, you know, the parent tell them to do it a certain way and they coach. I didn't do that. I taught him the proper way.
You contradict what coaches do.
Yeah, exactly.
Coach might be telling him to drag his feet back. You might be telling him, hey, cross over.
We learned the proper techniques, and I told him, I said, but you play on the team for that coach.
Right.
That's your coach. That's who you're supposed to be playing for, but you know what the right techniques
so
are.
So if you had bad posture, bad technique being taught, you were to learn good posture, good technique at home, and practice bad posture, bad technique?
No, you basically practice what the coach said, because the one thing about it is, ultimately, he was your coach in that team environment.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to be the coach, so you had to deal with
it. So if it was that bad, would you ever pull him?
No, because I believe in commitment. Again, my job as a dad is to teach him how to be a man.
Okay.
I used to always tell him, it's your mama's job to make you feel good. It's my job to make you good.
That is true.
So that's how I was as a dad.
Right.
Dude, but the things that I've seen, now, because, I mean, we've been around here a long time.
Right.
And I tell you, 22 years. I've seen in 22 years that all daddy coaches are not good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I know the guest that we had on earlier may not be able to say names or be able to talk about things, but I watch programs that get to the pinnacle level of it. And because they had daddy coaches that floated the way through, the organization floated on.
We covered that. We talked about that. You know, and the organization dissipates down to nothing because a daddy coach, once again, could have done had to follow the blueprint of, hey man, I want to make sure my son has a great experience out here while he's out here. But when we leave, all of that leaves with us. Or he could have just said, you know, when my son leaves, I'm going to continue to be a pillar in the community. I'm going to continue to be a part of the organization in some way, form, or fashion to make sure that every kid that comes behind my kid can participate and have the great experience that my kid had.
And that's the thing I was looking at. When I was thinking about when my son, because my son is now 26, of course, so he was five when I started. When he stopped playing, I had a responsibility to everybody else that looked like me, that looked like him growing up.
Yeah.
So if I was a great role model to him, my mission on earth, and I mean, I'm talking gospel, is that I'm supposed to go out and make disciples. So if I was great at giving him, and like Coach Derek said, if my son came out there with a towel, every kid on the team had a towel. And he did. He had all the sweat. If he came out, spat it up, everybody on the team.
I need to come with enough tape to make sure every kid out
here. I know. See, that was that old school tape. I came with real spats. I was the first one coming out with the cloth spats.
Here you go.
I didn't know where it was coming from.
I was the first one with the real.
I was coming out with the real stuff. So, but I watch organizations, and I do consulting work.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to talk to different organizations about building their program, I tell them daddy's coaches are great guys in a program.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, because they're going to give
assets.
Their all.
But they can be truly.
But you
asset.
Can't put them in leadership positions, because if they're in a leadership position and they're not building other leaders, just have followers, when they leave, they take that knowledge with them.
Right.
So you lose that within the organization. So if you get a daddy coach, don't get me wrong, they are great for the youth sports environment.
Mm-hmm.
We need them. Everybody that, 99% besides the two guys that was, everybody was somewhat of a daddy coach when they started doing it. Now there's some guys in our organization you were one of them.
I got into this. I didn't have a son, I had a daughter. We started with cheerleading in the beginning. But
and Tay didn't want to do all
she
that.
Didn't want, she did it though in the beginning.
That's because you was out there. You made
her. It hurt my heart that she quit.
It was hot and mosquitoes.
She tells Uncle Leroy, it was hot and mosquitoes. I always say this though. With kids, if you pour into a man and you keep positive influence like those guys that we had on the show earlier, positive influences around them. Even for a daddy coach that's giving that knowledge back to the coaches that are going to continue to be with the organization can continue to be a living organism and survive.
Yeah.
But once you cut the bloodline off of the source of energy, of knowledge and those things, then you're stuck with what?
Nothing.
Just a dead body.
With kids is that a lot of those daddy coaches don't realize that there are other younger daddy coaches that's watching them.
Right.
So the way they handle the transition with their kids going is how they're going to handle it.
Right.
So you create a cycle. But again, with showing the assistant coaches, showing the extra coaches, as well as showing the kids, as a motto that is a new thing that I'm using now. See better, be better.
Right.
If you show somebody how it is to be better,
new standard has been established because I've seen something that can make me want to be a better person.
Watch this. A biologist is a biologist. Why? Because he read about biology,
right.
He be around other biologists, and he do biologist stuff. That's what he see.
Right.
It wasn't anything that he was born with or brought to, it's what he sees. So as coaches, it's our job. If we really want to make better community citizens out of our kids, if we want to make better, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and it's not a racial thing, but if we want better black men,
period,
we have to be better black men. Yeah. We have to stand up. So we can't be, because I watch daddy coaches, and this is normally how a daddy coach do the transition. Coach Charles say it surprised him, he didn't know about it. But this is how the transition of a daddy coach will go. They'll start off with a young team. The kid move up. They may stay with that young team that year that he move up. But that next year, next thing you know, he's going to start saying, well, I can't be the head coach of that young team because my job schedule got me
but
messed
I can
up.
Be in practice.
But I can schedule. I play yeah. up. See, my first group was playing on Sundays, but now I work on Sundays. But my son play on Saturday, but I can be there for the Saturday games. And then
it puts the organization in a position to where, you know, we want to keep this daddy in the organization.
Exactly.
So we're going to move him up.
So they allow them to move up. Mm-hmm. Or there's a great nucleus of kids, because I watched the organization who won championships at the younger level with some dads.
Mm-hmm.
Those dads moved up to that next level. They won a championship with that next level with those dads. They moved up to the third level and almost won a championship. But in the aftermath of all that, the guy that was the worst coach, they kept bumping him back down. So now their feeder program, when they were younger, do not have that foundation.
So you put spoils at the bottom, so now you can't
build. So now you just killed the whole organization because now you can't build because you don't have that character, that coaching ability, because some guys are good coaches.
So one thing I look at, Coach, I'm glad you went in depth. You covered a lot of things.
Because you know I get heated about this, man.
You get excited about it. So I have a one-year-old, your nephew, my little AJ. I thought I was going to be out of the youth business. You know, I was like, man, hey, I'm retired. We just be in the administrative side. Do the TV show. We're going to live good.
Yeah. You
know? But I'm going to be in it for a long time. Will I be a good daddy coach? Will I even want to coach my son? Right now, I feel like I never want to coach my own son.
Yeah.
Because of all the dialogue we've had today, daddy coaches, daddy's leaving the organization, all of those good things. But I tell you what, man, today has been an interesting eye-opener for me to look at it from the standpoint of saying, you know what? Who knows?
Dude, I was the same way. Yeah. My biggest thing was I had a granddaughter. I was going to recitals.
Right.
Now I have a grandson on the way. Right. So now I'm going to be here for another 18
years. We're going to be here for Langston, man. Hey, it's
Lincoln Riley, man.
Lincoln.
So you know he's going to be a quarterback.
I thought he was a Lincoln.
It's Lincoln Riley because he's going to be a quarterback.
It's pop-pop, pap-pap, whatever they call you. He says he's going to be a papa, man. I ain't got all the nicknames, man. But at the end of the day, man, you know what we got to celebrate, though? 1865 happened, and it allowed us to have an opportunity to be great.
Yep.
And I believe in Juneteenth. This is 4th of July for us, baby.
Yep.
And I'm loving it. We're live on It's All About the Youth, and hey, it's all about the youth.
Yeah, it's all about the youth, man.
Period.
It's only entertainment.
Not entertained. Are you?